Ernest?
Here.
Lensman?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Gringo?
Here.
Steigers?
Here.
Youngquist?
Here. All right, we've got an agenda in front of us. We do have a small amendment to number 7 in new business. It's over on the second page. It should read the major site plan instead of minor. Just a minor change in words. So with that amendment, I would call for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, and thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. We have consent agenda items number 1 through 13. Were there any questions or anything for separate consideration?
Can I get poll number 2, please?
Okay. All right. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the others?
So moved. 1 through 1 and then 3 through 13.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Fran. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Number 2, go ahead, Isla.
I propose some amendment to the ambassador duties. We actually only have one ambassador, so I suggest taking $50 off that total. And on the jackets, again, since we only have the one ambassador at this time, to take $20 off that rental fee. And then also to not pay the 10% donation to the chamber, $125.40, which would leave a total of $1,289.
Okay. Is there any other discussion about that? So you would remove the voluntary contribution?
Yes.
Change ambassadors to one and the ambassador jacket rental. So what was that new total again?
$1,289.
Okay. All right. Would you like to make a motion? You want to put that in the form of motion?
I will make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Thank you. And Elaine, all those in favor of approving this change in the consent agenda item number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay. All right, thank you. We move right into special presentations. We have several of those tonight. First up on the agenda is Fred Stark with the annual report of the Washington Historic Preservation and Committees. Fred, would you come up to the podium and use the microphone?
Okay. You'll have to excuse me. I just got done with a Christmas concert at the Halcyon House. Gary McCurdy, myself, Dr. Towner, and a few others there. So we had a little cheer to the place here. I'm Fred Stark here on the Historic Preservation Committee here as such, and basically talk about what we've done this year as such and things. I think I took over as being chairperson in, it was about April or somewhere around there. April was. And I attended the State Historic Preservation Committee presentation at Sioux City, Iowa, which to me was very exciting. It's like attending a session of talented and gifted things. And everybody had something exciting to say, and you learn a lot from what's going on. And I've talked with some people, and I may want to give a presentation, because a bunch of us do industrial archaeology, where we go around some of the abandoned towns and things and look for things like that, because next year's conventions in Mount Pleasant, which is pretty close here. A lot of people could attend. So anyway, that was basically that. We our main project was in October, where we went October 8th and 15th. We connected with Main Street, and we had a walking tour around the square. Let's see if I have that brochure here. And it was put out by our person that runs, Sam, who does that, an excellent, excellent thing, because it not only talks about the way things go, but it gives detailed accounts of the things. And this is the newest trend that seems to be in historic publications, and she is doing a top-notch job. So for 2 weeks, two Sundays, then, I myself, I think much of us, were all going around there explaining what could be, you know, what our square has here, what makes it kind of unique. And the thing that hit me very interesting was this, that we never really had a major fire on the square, other than the one close by the Penny building was one there, and then they tried to build it back there. And I had looked at the wall, the fire charts, and I discovered so many of those buildings on the square had a firewall. And if you have a firewall, you stop that fire from spreading from building to building, which I thought was rather amazing to find that out at that particular time on that one. So anyway, for the 8th and the 15th, we did that. Then I figured on November 16th, I said, why not have a show-and-tell session? People could come to Washington, to the library. They may have a story we don't know about. And there's a lot of little hidden things in the town that some people are just keeping quiet about. I'll be honest myself, we sold our house. We left this big glazed monument thing in the back that said so-and-so shoe store, which was a predecessor to Brown's shoe store. It's right still there, but it was too big to move out or anything like that. So there are other people who had things. So I thought that was pretty good. It was a busy time, and that always made it there. So presently, I do give talks around the state and around Washington County, wherever it is, on Iowa trivia. That's one of the big things on that one. But anyway, I feel as though...
Progress.
That's kind of what we've done today. But basically, when we do things, we work with other people, related committees, to achieve goals. We make the public more aware of our history, and we preserve historic things that try to, at least, that need to be preserved. Any questions? The committee people, Eva Richardson, Shelley Kreutz, Bethany Glensman, and myself. And we have a vacancy on it right now. Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
that's actually been filled by Connie Larson. So,
what?
Yeah.
Connie Larson.
So we don't have a vacancy. Sure.
I apologize. Gosh.
That was recent.
You can see it now. Okay. So that's what I have to say here. I'm enthusiastic about it, and it's great. I might just mention that my cousin and I both have authored a book on the beginning of the rails and trail system in the United States. Pete Weller and I. About a 300-page book in which it talks about the rise of the railroad lines when they're abandoned and became trails and stuff. So I go into a lot of this kind of stuff. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
I went on that walking tour and found it very interesting.
Okay, next is Atwood Energy Services, and we have TJ here to... give us a presentation.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is TJ Clith, and I am the Business Development Manager for Atwood Energy Services, and we are an electrical contractor specialized in solar and energy storage. We are 100% employee owned. We've installed 400 plus projects around the Midwest, and the reason I reached out is I'm beginning to see more and more municipals looking at solar. It's becoming economically compelling because everything's going up in price, but solar is coming down still. And so that is one factor. From 5 years ago, you get a system much cheaper. Also, electric rates keep going up. So I guess you're trying to get that sweet spot of, you know, payback and, you know, savings on the system and when it's going to pay for itself and those things. And then Align Energy is going to propose in raising rates by 20% over 2 years. And so that even makes it more economically compelling. We recently won a request for quote for the city of Brighton for their wastewater treatment plant. I just presented to another municipal 2 weeks ago. They consulted to get some numbers on what it would cost for their wastewater treatment facility. They saw the numbers and in that meeting moved to go straight to a request for proposals for their wastewater treatment facility. So I know if it pencils for Iowa municipals in, you know, on Align Energy, it's going to pencil for other municipals, and that's why I reached out. And I don't have the numbers on any of your facilities, but I do have a recent proposal given for a municipal wastewater treatment facility, so you can kind of see the economics on a project. Now, depending on how big the facility is, it's going to impact what rate schedule the facility is going to be on. But if on general service rate schedule, you can eliminate the electric bill based on how you size that system. But you can see the economics on a project like this. For this municipal, was about a $300,000 project. It's going to pay for itself in under 7 years without any incentives whatsoever. The municipal will save about $2.3 million over 30 years of the life of that system. With municipals, with the Inflation Reduction Act that went through about a year ago, there is an incentive of direct pay, which the federal government is still giving guidelines, and we're waiting for those guidelines, but there's a base rate of 6% that you can get in direct payment, where municipals with no tax appetite could take advantage of any kind of tax credits. But now there's a base rate of 6, and if you meet certain requirements like prevailing wages and apprenticeship program for the contractor, it can go up to 30% in direct pay, which everything I've read about it is you file like you're paying your taxes, but you have no tax liability, so it comes back as a refund after that tax year. But that's what I came here to kind of show you, is you can kind of see the economics on it, and also if there's any interest in consulting, we do consult to see what the municipal might need, rather than going right to an engineer, which is going to cost money up front for them to engineer the project to see if it pencils, which I've been involved in situations where school districts didn't know the economics on it, so they have an engineer come in, run it, and it costs them money. They realize this doesn't make any financial sense whatsoever, but we do that free of charge, so you can see the economics on the project to see if it's worthwhile to go to an RFP situation. Any questions, though?
I had one about the Inflation Reduction Act, mm-hmm. direct pay. Do you know the timeline on those? I know it's kind of uncertain.
They're saying the guidance is if it meets the prevailing wages, so the contractor has to meet those prevailing wages. Well, what prevailing wages? Are they there's electrical contractors, or is it, because a lot of the system is not electrical work, and so that would be something to dig into. What is exactly the prevailing wages, and what apprenticeship program meets the federal guidelines for apprenticeship program? Because an electrical contractor can have an apprenticeship program in the state of Iowa, but does that meet the federal guidelines? Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we're navigating right now.
Have they provided any clarity on how long these incentives will be available to municipalities?
I believe it's for the next 10 years.
Okay.
So yeah, the tax credit for businesses was raised to 30% for the next 10 years, and I'm assuming it's going to be the same thing for municipalities. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and this document you gave us, this is for a wastewater treatment plant in another location in Iowa somewhere?
Yes.
Okay. And we've done a little looking into some of our figures, but I don't have anything with me or on the top of my head, but what size of a system, how many kilowatt?
That is that system is 187 kW system. I believe it's on page 2 or 3. It says the size of that system at the top of the page.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming Washington was a little bit bigger than that city, so it's probably a bigger system required, and at what rate schedule you're on, because if you're on demand rate, where they're actually not just charging you straight energy charges, but any peak during the month, you get billed for that at like $26 a kW, which could be pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that with the wastewater treatment plant, that's the most probably greater cost savings as far as heavy usage of electricity?
Yeah.
Far as different city facilities?
Yeah, typically that's the biggest, that or their water plants. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the water plant, that the one that I presented to just presented for the wastewater treatment plant, and they just, they're going to, actually in the RFP, they're going to tack on their city hall, which is a very small system, but if they're going to do it, they're going to do anything they can try to offset.
Does anybody have any questions? Is this something that we, I mean, I know we have a lot of big projects on the horizon, but is this something you think we should get more information on, council?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't do this before. We know all those places, but yeah.
I mean, the wastewater treatment plant, I mean, I could see a ground system there. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's not in a public place.
Yeah, and a ground mount's going to be the most efficient.
Right.
It collects the most sun energy throughout the year.
So, do we need to, what is that?
We don't have to do anything.
Okay.
It was a presentation, so.
Okay.
We can talk about it at another time and see if we want to do something.
But I think that there is interest.
My contact information's right on the front of that.
Okay.
Phone and email.
All right.
I can answer any questions that come up later.
Okay.
Have to do that.
Well, thank you for being here.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we have a presentation on the Wellness Park Phase 2 by B&K. Hello, Leland. Welcome.
Hello. So, Leland Belding from Meester & Kim. I've got Chris Prezik with me. She'll be talking a little more about the ponds. And then online, I've got Jared and Tara. Tara's our architect. And Jared's, he's put together all the renderings. So in your packet, you should just have kind of a master plan.
Yeah, just a
And then at the end of the day, when we get done, I've got reports for everybody that's got all the details there. So Jared, I think you can you hear me? Can you make the PowerPoint work?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, you want to fire that PowerPoint up? You may need to give him permission to share his screen.
Yesterday.
You didn't? Okay. I'm going to share. To put together a master plan, and basically it's looking at, you know, kind of the overall plan and some budgeting costs. The pond itself was at a point where it really needed some preliminary design, so we also did a topographic survey of the site so we could do that. Next slide. All right. So the phase one, so we took our drone and did a aerial photo of that, so you can see what that is, what is currently out there with the baseball fields, the soccer, the football, or parking lot, sheesh, football, and the volleyball over to the, you just can't see that on the right there. The pond has kind of been recreated, the land kind of, you can see the kind of the flow there. Next slide. So here is the master plan, which should have gone out in the packet. Kind of shows you the phase one plus the phase two. There's kind of 12 points there that we'll talk about. We're going to start with giving you kind of a video overview. So Jared has rendered, he's modeled all this in 3D. So we'll kind of run through the video so you kind of see where everything is, and then we'll talk through each item. So Jared, whenever you're ready to launch that video. I think we skipped the music on this one, so. So the first stop here is, he's even got the labels. I'm not even needed, am I?
You're still needed.
And this is a video that we can provide if you want to put it on the website, although it is almost a gigabyte in size. Actually, it probably is a gig with the labels. But this is kind of zooming down. It would be the south side, kind of a future trail. That would also be kind of the location of if that street ever got extended to the west. So that gives us a look to the northeast. Now the rendering didn't do the grass real well, so this is all prairie grass now and would stay that. There would be kind of some mowed strips around it. There is a little bit of a high point, and we figured that'd be a good spot to put like a gazebo, you know, some sort of destination you can kind of overlook. Now we're coming up the west side. You can see the existing baseball fields. Gives us a good look at the pond there. So you can see some of the dark green, that'd be mowed paths down to the, we'd have some little rock jetties there for fishing off of, as well as the fishing pier. That's the existing parking lot you see. So we've got the fishing pier, the little information kiosk there that could have information on the wetlands, the animals, things that might be seen as they're walking around the pond. This would be like a trailhead, and you'd have trailhead signage, maybe some maps there. The concession stand, and this one is actually under contract at this point to be designed. And it's got a storage area, a couple of bathrooms. As we get down into the details later, Tara can add more. Existing parking lot. Pickleball court, because that's the new thing now. Coming up on the existing volleyball, and that'd be a good location for adding a picnic shelter. And then we'd have a parking lot here that would double as additional parking for volleyball, as well as Nick's favorite part of the presentation.
That's right.
A new part shop. Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's the. Nope, oh, nope, we're not done with the video. We got it.
Yeah, should be
one final.
Should
that's right.
Trail, lodge,
I got all excited about your shop and I forgot all about the lodge.
We can stop.
Yeah.
So now we're heading south. So the trail there is mostly existing.
Yep.
There's the soccer.
Which will have lights up on it by the end of the week.
Oh, yay.
And here we have the lodge event center. And then it would have the shelter in back with picnic tables. Build a kind of overlook the pond. It is set a little bit back from it, but you'd have area there for flat open space for you know, whatever activities. Another good view of the pond, you can see the fishing pier. So the dark green there would be the, there'd be a spillway there. And, okay, now we're back to the beginning. All right. Thank you, Jared. Back to the PowerPoint, and next slide. So we completed a topographic survey of the area, so we can do the preliminary design for the pond, as well as know where utilities are for any of the future buildings and stuff, so you can see the green for sewer, blue for water, red for electrical. Next slide. In order to do the pond design, we need to do some soil boring, so that's just kind of showing the location, approximate location of the pond, and then where we did the soil borings. At this point, I'll turn it over to Chris, and she'll talk more about what they found and kind of what that, how that impacts the pond.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So TerraCon ran a geotechnical report for us. They're the ones who also completed the soil borings. So, thank you. Actually, can you go back one, Jared? I just wanted to explain the sites on the map. It's kind of hard to see the red dots, but we basically have three where in the blue where the water would be, because we want to see what kind of fill there is and if it's porous or what kind of earth we got going on there that would actually hold the water. And then kind of see three in a line, that's where the berm is. That's really important because for structural integrity of the dam, and then one downstream just to make sure whatever water's being released, that's stable. You always want a stable outlet to any structure, even more so on a berm on the dam. Also, just in the very, it'd be the south side, but on the very left of that image, you'll notice there's that little road that goes into town. And there, so that was one of the big things with this dam is that you do have infrastructure. There's also some housing downstream from this dam. So that's one of the things that impacts the design of this dam is having things that if this dam were to ever burst, basically, and all that water starts rushing down, are you going to impact residences and then any important infrastructure? I think that's really is kind of important. It looks really nice right now, too. So. That's kind of one of those things we look at when designing the dam also. So thank you, Jared. Next slide. So we ran the report. This is one of the nice images from that report. Basically what they were finding is they really don't like your soils for a pond dam. Unfortunately, there was a lot of sand seams found, so not necessarily really thick amounts of sand, but just lots of, you know, like very distinct sand, kind of, you know, little thin layers consistently is what what they were finding, and that's concerning. When they weren't finding the strength they wanted, excuse me, in the potential areas you'd be taking the soil, basically the blue part, you could dig a little deeper, and that's really cheap dirt, so you just pile it up, and that's what makes your berm. They don't, the soils there just were not conducive for a dam, they were finding from the soil borings. So as far as this slide, I think that's the big takeaway is, yeah, the soils weren't as great as we were hoping. On a slight plus side, it looks like a lot of the trash soil has already been removed from the area of the berm. So I would suggest slight more, like the city could do it on its own, just take a backhoe and just make a couple little digs here and there just to verify that. But it looks like, even though there's a lot of glass on the surface there, it seems like, for the most part, where the berm is, if you go higher up in the landscape, they did find about 4.5 feet of nice trashy soil that had all the glass and whatever had been put there, but no tractors, no contaminated soils either were found, so I'll give those as the two upsides. So, because unfortunately, yeah, the soil, so it was a disappointment to see that they didn't really like the soils there, because that is the cheapest place is to just kind of pile them up. And that's usually around here how you build a pond is your soils are right there. So, but has it, any questions on the soil report or anything, or any specific questions?
Does that mean that if we did that, we'd have to bring in?
Right. So yes.
Suitable soil.
Yeah. So can I just go into the next slide?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, Jared, can you go to the next slide, please? We'll just jump right in. Oh, wrong way. Perfect. So basically, the preliminary design, so the height, the volume of the dam was built around, assuming this is going to be for fish habitat, so there's specific design minimum parameters you have to meet to make sure your fish survive through the winter in this area and all that kind of stuff. We also looked at adding aerators and fountains in for winter, that increases the winter habitat and oxygen flow. It also, this is designed to be 14 feet at normal pool, so your normal depth would be 14 feet. That can start to set layers, two different layers in your pond, and you get in the spring and fall months, if it's bad enough, you can actually have what's called turnover in your pond or your lake, and that can cause issues for habitat. You can have fish kills sometimes with that. The aerators, and they have bubblers. We looked at bubblers where you put on the side, and that specifically gets rid of that issue. Anything about more than 8 feet, you kind of start looking at that. So we added that in. But yeah, so basically, it's not on this side, but yeah, the soils would have to not only come in from somewhere else for the dam, but anything you were excavating would have to be shipped out too, unless there was something on site. A little could go to the fitness area since it's kind of built up for to be a flat area, kind of in a hilly, you can use some of that elsewhere, but yeah, you get twofold here. It's, you can't keep what you're going to be digging up and you need to bring in additional fill. So you get hammered twice on that nice fuel charge right there. So that's really what makes this pond so expensive. This is a general, again, trying to give like a little glimmer of maybe making it cheaper down the road for what the final price would be, is an actual full design. Not necessarily not even having it for fish, because I don't think that's in the realm of things. What's really driving this price is you have to get rid of the soils and you have to bring new one in. That's really what's driving. So bringing this down a couple feet or a few feet and just not having fish, really, I don't think is gonna, in the realm of things, it won't make it that much cheaper. And then you're losing your fish, which would be a really big draw. So if you could, do make sure the trash is gone. Have a full design on the pond, a final design, and then you can have a more specific geotechnical report done that's looking very much, and maybe they can find where the borrow areas are, maybe, or you can find borrow areas that are really close. They can look at that more for, like, because they'll know, it'll be a final on how much volume we're also looking for of dirt, so maybe there's something really close. Maybe they know where you can take the soil that they don't really like, but maybe someone else nearby is doing something, so your travel time for your trucking it out and in is shorter. It makes it overall less expensive. So that's about all, but for the numbers based on this report and a preliminary design, it's an expensive pond. But I would keep the fish if at all. Yeah.
What area or pond or is that, would that be, how many acres?
It's about 6 acres of surface area. Yep, 14 feet deep at the deepest. Just to go in for a little bit for fish. So fish in this quadrant of Iowa need a bare minimum of 8 feet of water. I would never design anything less than 10, and that's a normal pool. So that's like once it's filled up and it's just your everyday pool area, that's what we were aiming for the fish. So we designed it for 14 as requested, which is a great, great depth. And it fits in well here also. Part of the preliminary design is making sure at the various stages you have to design the ponding of water for, that you're not going over on the neighbors, so you don't need any permanent easements for water detaining, either in the right of way or on the neighboring properties either. So it's a really nice spot size-wise for a pond. Unfortunately, the soils here from wherever they got dragged in from over the eons is just not in your favor at the moment. So, but yeah. No, yeah, it's a really nice size pond. It is a bit bigger than, I don't want anybody to think this is like a farm pond, and that's kind of what I'm trying to, really show, is that this has to be a beefier pond because of the road down the way and the housing. So this is just a bigger pond based on that. Being able to put trails on it or do maintenance, we're looking at a minimum width, top width, to make sure, you know, maintenance is easy, that people can use the pond, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Unfortunately, the big driver, though, is your dirt's really expensive on this one, too. So.
Any questions? Thank you.
I'll go back to Leland.
Next slide, Jared. It might be expensive dirt, but you put a really pretty fishing pier. So the one he's got designed here has just connects to the 10-foot trail, and it's a 10-by-30 covered pier. So we'll have prices at the end of the presentation. Next slide. So the concession stand, this is currently under contract, and next, so you can see where it's going to be located between the parking and the soccer field. Next slide. And I don't know, Tara, if you're, or Jared, one of you want to talk the concession stand? Or not?
I can go for it.
Okay, thank
you. So, this concession stand is stick-built, wood framing, metal siding, metal roof. There's a stone at the base all the way around. It contains two family restrooms, ADA compliant, storage area with an overhead door for groundkeeping, I believe, full-service kitchen with serving windows. Those are on the corner here to the left of that image, serving two different sides of the building. They have exterior drinking fountains, there's space for mechanical room, and exterior holds bib. Jared, is there anything to add on that based on the design working with the owner?
No, I think you covered most of it. One thing that the rendering does not show, we'll have some exterior lighting on the building as well, some exterior wall packs.
All right. Well, thank you. And we'll go to the next slide. So the next item we'll talk is the lodge, which is down there. Okay, north is to the right. So if you're looking at it, it just fits better with the presentation. Next slide, please. And the video did a nice job of kind of showing how that's laid out. But and again, at this point, we're looking at kind of square footage costs. So we had a list of items that were desired for this. And then we're looking at your email, Jared. All right. But those are some of the items that were called for. So, you know, seating 100 people, catering kitchen, polished concrete floor. So one of the things that was discussed was the restrooms. And since the concession stand is going to have restrooms that are open to the public, these would not be designed where, like, the outer doors will be open where the public can go in, use the restrooms. It just... too much concern for vandalism. So it would just be restrooms for, I believe that was our conversation?
Yep.
All right.
So we ended on.
Yep.
Cost savings and logistics.
Mm-hmm. And since you've got the concession stand right there. Mm-hmm. Next slide. And this was the shot for sitting on picnic tables, looking out at the pond. And that's what that looked like. Next slide. And this was that trailhead that the video showed. So this would be kind of the southwest corner of the parking lot. And so that would have the wayfinding signs for the trail system. And next slide. So this shows you the trail system. So we've got a 10-foot outer loop. Part of that's already been constructed along E. Then the interior would be 6 feet. And then we've got a couple of the green grass mowed ones getting down to the pond. over on the right side, north side, you can see a little access connection to the to get into the baseball fields. If you do the whole outer loop, you know, up E and around the whole thing, it works out to 1.48 miles. So in design, I'm sure we can add a couple wiggles in there and get it to be 1.5 miles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you do events and stuff, it's nice to have a, you know, a nice start-stop point. Next slide. So the fitness area would be down towards the Y by the water tower. Next slide. So we had talked about two versions or two ways you can do a fitness trail. One is the trail where you've got a piece of equipment every so often, you run down the trail and you do stuff. Or kind of a circuit training model here where everything's just kind of right in one spot. So this is what we're showing. Ultimately, it could, there's enough room, you could do either one. It'd have a dedicated parking lot there on E. That'd be separate from the lodge parking. And next slide. And the video already showed this, so we've got the gazebo on the west side or the top of the slide and the picnic area there on the east. Next slide. So we're showing a 15 by 26 picnic shelter there by the volleyball and then gazebo, like a 14 foot diameter, kind of on a little bit of a overlook for the pond. Next slide. And pickleball court, because kind of pickleball court now. And I hear they're very loud. So if you have one across from your apartment building,
there. Watch out.
But this is not, we don't have to worry about that here. Next slide, please. So, yeah, that would be up kind of tucked to the west of the volleyball there, accessible by the main parking lot. Next slide. And, of course, our favorite, the park shop.
Very nice.
Next slide. And so four truck bays, a couple offices, break room, showers. A nice improvement, I hear.
Slightly.
Is it big enough?
Wow.
Yes, I think so.
We would buy you some more equipment, you know.
Hopefully.
We need bigger space for it.
Yeah.
And next slide. Planting. So there'd be a combination of native grasses, prairie, wetlands. We mentioned trees, and understand you've got a very strong tree, committee.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would take care of those plantings. This kind of shows how this would look, and surprisingly, this is really hard to do in 3D because all the grasses are individual objects.
Yeah.
So that took Jared a while to get that rendered. Next slide. And then just general amenities. So we talked about lighting for the trail. That's a long run and it's kind of away from utilities. But on the right side, there's a light pole there that is a solar powered light. So, and that would be more of like instead of like an even lighting throughout the hole, you'd have kind of, you know, the light spot, and then it would get a little darker, and then the next light. So you're kind of going from, you know, spot to spot around the trail. Another option is some of they've got the bollards, but doing the bollards for the mile and a half, this would be the cheaper option. You've already got some limestone out there, but the limestone seating is something that looks nice and popular. And then, of course, the regular benches, which I believe that's similar to what you have downtown. Informational signs throughout the trail system just to show vegetation, native grasses, wildlife, and there's a trash recycling receptacle. And I think next slide. All right, so grand finale. So looking at roughly $7 million in construction costs and then design construction admin, another $2.5 million. The pond is like $1.5 million, so that was double what we were hoping, but the soils the way they are. Fishing pier is $150,000, concession stand. Kind of based on current prices, $237,000. Lodge, $1.3 million. Trail, $1 million. Now the trail's broken up into a lot of pieces, so we have a little more detailed cost opinion, so you can start biting off pieces of that trail at a much cheaper. I believe it was, what was it, $1,000 a foot? Was that the number, Jared? Do you remember? $100 a foot for the 10-foot wide trail. Yeah, that sounds better. So you can just kind of get a rough idea at, you know, $100 every foot for a 10-foot. We looked at doing a gravel trail, and that's about 25% of the cost. And what's nice about the gravel, you get the gravel trail in first, you use it, it weathers, and you get a nice base for when you do get the money to do the paved trail. Park shop building, a little over $1 million. $110,000 for your pickleball court. Any questions? If not, I will hand out the reports for everybody right now. And of course, I made them conveniently sized for you.
Did your company, it's up to the council to do the point A to point B to point C. I mean, we picked the project first, second, third.
Correct. So this is the planning phase. This is like
the whole thing.
Yeah. Your wish list, exactly.
Okay.
And then the next step will be looking at the what budget you do have. I know Nick and Deanna have rattled off a bunch of funding sources that they've dealt with in the past. So they just start kind of chopping it into little bite-sized pieces and seeing what you can fund. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's there.
Thanks, Owen.
All right. I think I got everybody.
I'll take one. If I could. Thanks.
You'll be able to send digital formats and stuff too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll be able to provide the PDFs of the report. I can get that email tomorrow. The video, it is about a gig, but we can get it on the flash drive if you want that for.
Yeah.
All right. Any further questions?
It's a nice job. It's very nice.
Yeah. Awesome.
Looking project.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Next is presentation from the public. Is there anybody here who would like to speak to council about an issue or anything? All right, nobody signed up, right, Amanda?
No.
Okay. All right, thank you. We're moving on to claims and financials. So, claims.
I did not receive any questions ahead of time. Are there any questions now?
Anybody have a question? Okay. How about a motion?
Make a motion we approve claims as stated.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Ivan, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. And November 23 financials.
Yes, the total treasury cash and investments decreased from the end of October by $246,635. That gives us a November month-end balance of $10,025,443. After 5 months of operations, we're ahead of budget for revenue in almost all of our funds, with the exception of the sewer fund. Our general fund is over budget by $387,136 due to property tax revenue and local option sales tax. The airport fund by $66,012 due to fuel sales and hangar rent. The road use fund by $30,499 due to road use taxes. The water fund by $75,894 due to charges for services. And lastly, the sanitation fund by $23,472 due to charges for services. After 5 months of operations, expenses are behind budget for the water, sewer, and sanitation funds. A common theme in most funds is that we're over budget due to our work comp insurance installments and general insurance. In addition to those insurance expenses, we are over budget for the following line item. In the general fund for seasonal work, repairs, payments to outside entities, and staff development. Airport fund for fuel and grounds maintenance. Road use for vehicle operations, contractual services, equipment, supplies, signs, street maintenance, and seal coat program. The water plant for operational equipment repair, utilities, credit card fees, and chemicals. The sewer plant for operational equipment repair, tech services, and their truck purchase. The sewer collection for contractual services and safety supplies. And lastly, sanitation for refuse and recycling and contractual services.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Any motions?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay, thank you. And Bethany, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. Moving on to new business. First is a public hearing for the fiscal year 24 budget amendment number one. Is there anybody here to speak to this issue? Anybody online? Anybody in person? I would entertain a motion then to close the public hearing.
I'm so moved.
Thank you. Wait a second. Thank you. Amanda, would you call the roll, please?
Ringo?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Glinsman?
Yes.
And Moore?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to number two, which is a discussion and consideration for the resolution approving the budget amendment.
Make a motion that we approve the budget amendment.
Thank you.
Second.
I'll give this one to Fran. Thank you, Fran.
Okay.
And resolution, so call the roll, please.
Ernest?
Yes.
Glinsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay, moving to number three, discussion and consideration for the resolution of street lighting for the southwest corner of Adams and 14th, also in 15th Avenues. Any discussion, comments?
Is this all budgeted?
Is this?
It's through Alliant.
It's through Alliant. Will do it for us.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve this resolution for street lighting.
Okay, thank you. Elaine? Second by anybody?
Second.
Bethany, I thought you wanted to do that. And Amanda, would you call the roll?
Yeah. Glinsman?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right, next is number four, a discussion and consideration for the resolution approving a permanent public utility easement. This is in the business park. There's a memo that came with this.
It actually abuts, goes around near the cemetery.
Oh, that's right.
To the business park.
But it's for the business park.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Any questions?
Motion to approve the resolution approving a permanent public utility easement.
Thank you, Isla. Do I have a second? Second from Fran. Again, a resolution, so we had to call the roll.
Ernest?
Yes.
Glinsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Stiger?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right. Next, another resolution approving the placement installation of streetlights in the NLW 2 subdivision on South 11th Avenue.
We'll make motion that we approve the placement of streetlights at MLW's subdivision.
All right, thank you, Elaine. Do I have a second? Who'd like to do this one?
Go ahead, I got it.
Oh, you got it, all right.
I'm playing to be perfect.
Pickleball. Okay, so second by Fran on that one. And Bethany, would you go, Amanda, sorry.
Ringo?
Yes.
Steigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernst?
Yes.
Klinsmann?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to number seven. I'm getting ahead of myself here. This is a resolution adopting and levying the finalist schedule of assessments for the East Adams reconstruction project. We have that list of final assessments.
I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution adopting the levy for the final schedule of assessment.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Ivan. And Amanda, would you call that?
Yep. Klinsmann?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Steigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Moving on to number seven, discussion, a consideration for affirming the major site plan for W3 construction at 930 West Cannon Street.
Make a motion to approve the major site plan for W3 construction on the Cannon Street.
All right, second. Thank you. Elaine for the second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed, same sign. Ayes have it. Okay. Moving to number eight, discussion and consideration of a change order number 3 with reconstruction for the library makerspace project. This is
so moved. It's nice to see a reduction.
To see a reduction, isn't it? Once in a while.
Yes.
Thank you, and thank you, Bethany, for the second. And this is just a simple voice vote. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. Number 9, discussion and consideration of affirming the fire department election results for 2024.
Make a motion that we affirm the fire department election results.
Okay. Do I have a second from anybody?
Second.
Second from, thank you. And this is a simple voice vote, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Number 10, discussion and consideration of a second reading of an ordinance amending the Code of Ordinances incorporating a new chapter regarding cross-connection controls.
Make a motion to approve the second reading.
Thank you. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Anthony. And this is a voice book. Ordinance, so it's a, yes. Amanda, would you read the report? Steigers?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Klinsmann?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay. Number 11, discussion and consideration for the resolution accepting the Country Club View subdivision plat 1 as completed. Okay.
Make a motion to approve the resolution accepting the Country Club View subdivision plat 1 as completed.
Okay, thank you, Fran.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. And Amanda, would you call the roll? Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Steigers?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Klinsmann?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Okay. Then number 12, discussion and consideration for change order number 1 with the long construction for the Country Club View subdivision. Unfortunately, an increase, but.
Why was there an increase?
Because when they do the final audit from a project, they look at quantities, and there was additional quantities with excavation was the biggest one. But this didn't affect our price. We still only pay the $800,000 that we said we would pay.
So. Okay.
I make a motion to approve change order number 1 with the lawn construction for the Country Club View subdivision with an increase of $22,000. $666.65.
All right, second. Thank you, Brent. And thank you, Elaine. And a voice vote. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Number 13, discussion and consideration for payout. Number 8, to DeLong Construction for the Country Club View subdivision.
Payout number 8. Motion to approve payout number 8.
Second.
All right. Thank you, Bethany and Lane. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. 14, discussion and consideration of payout number 9. Final to DeLong Construction for the Country Club View subdivision.
I'll make a motion we pay for pay up application number 9.
Thank you, Ivan. Thank you, Elaine. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed, same sign. Okay. Ooh, let's look at that. Okay. Well, this is Bethany's last meeting with us, and we wanted to send her away with a little special certificate. So if anybody out there wants to do a photo, here we go. It says, Certificate of Appreciation. The following award is given to Bethany Glinsman. But just a minute, I'm going to read it because I can't read it.
Okay.
For your dedication, impact, service, and contribution to the City of Washington, Iowa, as a council member during your term from April 19th, 2022 to December 31st, 2023.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you.
Look at me.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, thanks, I appreciate your service and your great contributions to the city. So I hope that is ongoing and will continue.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say this at the end.
Okay. Well, we'll let you close the meeting.
Okay.
Tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get a chance for some final words.
All right.
But okay. So let's do a once around. Our usual procedure.
Do you want to do department?
Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, yeah. So I include them as part of the once around. Chief, you can start us off.
Okay. The November activity report was in your packets. Officer Frazee successfully completed the Law Enforcement Academy. He's back on completing his field training. We had a good showing at his graduation on Friday. I appreciate everybody's support showing up for that. We even had a shout out from the Attorney General when she was giving her speech for the support we had there for him. So that was nice. The officers have been busy with calls and investigations. We've had a lot of animal complaints, a lot of dog bites, a lot of dogs at large where we're finding dogs that aren't vaccinated and things like that. I've visited with Amber from Paws and More, and hopefully in the coming months, we can partner with them to offer some sort of discounted or free vaccination event so we can benefit the residents and get those things taken care of and really try to stress the importance of people being responsible pet owners so we don't have these incidents. That's all I have.
Okay. Let's see. Kelsey or Amanda? And Kevin is not here with us tonight, so Deanna.
I really don't have anything to add.
Okay. All right. Fran, we'll come to you next.
Put this down so I wouldn't forget it. Buchanan's getting a lot of crap now that it's open, I think. I'm using it more.
What is?
With Buchanan.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was coming back from Brighton, came through there, and on West Settler in South Iowa. If you're heading east, at that intersection up from the high school, you cannot see traffic coming from your right unless you're halfway out on the road. There's a bunch of shrubs that run along the side of that street, and I'm not sure there's anything we can do about it. But it's definitely...
This is up before, you're on private property.
Yeah, that's on private property, but.
What if it's blocking the view?
It is extremely blocking the view, and I'm in a high truck.
So you're coming.
I can imagine what a car can see or can't see.
Well, the traffic from the south comes so fast too that they're.
Well, yeah, but yeah, because they're coming into town, they haven't slowed down yet.
Yeah.
So you're coming. You're coming from the west, going east.
No, I'm heading east. They're coming south, heading north.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Wayland Road?
Wayland. Well, South Iowa. Technically South Iowa.
And if you're looking out of town.
Sittler?
Huh?
And if you're looking south.
Yeah, if you're looking south, you can't see anything.
Not far away.
I think it's just an accident waiting to happen. Especially if you get some, you know, we get some slippery roads and high school kids wanting to get somewhere. We know they don't drive perfectly well.
I don't know, maybe we can
sometimes a little faster than normal.
So talk to them again and see if they
yeah, I mean, because if it's blocking vision and
it is definitely blocking the view of oncoming traffic.
Yeah, it's always been a problem.
And that's just it. This is the second or third time we've addressed this issue, so it's been here. This just came up. I think it needs to be nipped.
I'll agree with that. I pick up my grandson every day, and it's very difficult there.
We just been fortunate.
Oh yeah. Yes, lots of traffic. All right. Good comment. Anything else?
I'm hoping I get food off for Christmas. That's about it for me.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
140 days.
Uh-huh. A couple weeks ago, the Methodist minister, Dan Rimmer, and I, there is a trust fund that a woman, Ella Griffith, I'm not sure when she passed away, but it's been years, that every year money is from her trust is distributed to people, residents of Washington, over 55 who qualify income-wise. So we gave out like $58,000 to about 85 residents. So that was gratifying, and went enjoyed the Devens Police Academy graduation, seeing all the people there, and it's quite a thing. There is a Great Places survey. We put a survey together. I think you were all sent the link. So I hope you'll all fill it out, and I know we sent it like to different city departments too, and there's a place in there for kind of prioritizing some of the goals that they have, as well as a place for comment about any issue. So I hope you'll all do that, and it's called your Washington wish list, so it's appropriate for this time of year. So I thank everybody for a great year and all the work everyone has done, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and I'll look forward to seeing you next year. So thank you. Yay, pass it on to you.
I don't think I have anything. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year.
Yeah. Ivan.
I don't got much other than I want to thank the chief for there was a situation over in my block where fortunately a dog bit a couple other dogs, but talking to the chief, I think they've taken care of it and it's moving forward. Other than that, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
China. And it's quiet over in, I think, in Ward 3. The dogs are on leashes, at least the ones I've seen. But Merry Christmas, everybody, and I hope we have a great new year. So.
Yes. Okay, and Bethany.
Since our last meeting, we had a small group meeting to talk about the handicap parking downtown, so that will be on the next agenda, but that was a really good discussion, I thought, with JJ and Chief Buster and Deanna. Happy to answer questions if anyone has questions about that, but I think it's some good changes there. And then last weekend I was part of a group distributing meal kits, so we had 100 meal kits that we gave out to families in town that we purchased with $5,000 of donations from the community. So that was, we were wet and cold, but it was still a really good event to give away the food. And yeah, it's my last meeting, so I just wanted to say thanks to Deanna and all of the department heads and city staff for everything you've taught me the last couple of years. Obviously, running a city takes a lot of knowledge and dedication, so I think you all do really great been nice working with all of you on council. So thanks so much.
You are welcome.
And then I will wish everyone a happy holidays as well. Hope for a nice Christmas and happy new year. All right. Okay, motion to adjourn.
All right. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you, everybody. And, yeah.